Blog Talk Radio.
Public ministry of Jesus was eschatological in nature and content. The word eschatology means the doctrine of last things. And so when we speak of the eschatological nature of the public ministry of Jesus, I am talking about the fact that He had come to bring to an end or to complete the Old Testament economy and to bring in the new covenant or the new economy of grace. Please reference Jeremiah chapter 31. And so during his public ministry, Jesus became intimately aware of the human condition. He saw the ravages of physical illness. He saw the ravages of mental illness. He saw the ravages of sin in the lives of persons. He also saw what happened when the human personality was seized by demonic powers. We say when the human personality was demonized. And so this, seeing all these together, gave him a complete awareness of the human state or condition. And so I'm going to read from Luke chapter 13. Luke the physician historian, records this clinical case study about the healing of a crippled woman on Sabbath. This is a very powerful narrative in that we see something very unique about what it means to be human. So I'm going to begin reading at verse 10 in Luke chapter 13. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no way or in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said to the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and then therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I want to draw your attention to verse 11. And here we're given in verse 11 a synopsis of the condition of this unfortunate individual. Notice the words very carefully. And behold, there was a woman. Now, we have the state of being verb was given in the imperfect tense. And so it should actually read, there kept on being a woman, which had, and so we have the verb had, which is here a present active participle. She had a spirit of infirmity, or literally, the term here for woman is gune. One of the terms for man or husband in Greek is aner. Here the word is gune for woman. And so we read that she had a pneuma exousas anesthesias. And so in other words, she had a weakness of the whole person. And this Greek word was comprehensive of her condition. So she had a spirit of infirmity. And then we're given the time in which this condition had been in her life. We read 18 years. So Luke adds, and she was bowed together. So in the Greek, we have the prefix sug, S-U-G, which means together, and kryptosa, sug kryptosa. So she was in this chronic state, and literally it means to bend together. In other words, the medical word here is curvature for the spine, or curvature of the spine. And so she could in no wise lift up herself. So this was her chronic condition. She had been in this condition for 18 years. She had come to synagogue. She had come on the Sabbath day. She had come for worship. And she did not allow her condition to keep her away from synagogue, from gathering with the people of her faith. She went there, and she went to worship God. We read in verse 10 that he was teaching, that is, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. She went to be before him. And during his teaching, he noticed her. In verse 12, we read, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. This is a wonderful term. It is apoluo. Luo is a root word, and it means to release. Apo, out from, is a prefix, so we have apoluo, to release or to loose. And notice what Jesus said. He notes her physical condition, but then he sees something else. He sees beyond the scoliosis or the curvature of the spine. He sees something deeper and more intrinsic. He sees something that has been embedded in her life that is the result of another power. So we know that she has been in this condition for 18 years. What brought it about? We do not know until we read, we get to verse 16. And so she was bound. She could in no wise lift herself up. And so she stayed in this condition. It was a very powerful state. And she did not have the intrinsic ability to extricate herself from this condition. She did not have the inherent power. Now, it is important to note this. There are four words used in the Greek New Testament that Paul uses, particularly in his writings, that is translated as the one word power. The most common one is dunamis, which means to be able, to be powerful. And you're going to see another word here, exousia, which means executive authority. It means the absence of an obstacle. And so it is used in John chapter 1. To those who received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And this is John chapter 1, verse 12. It is exhibited, it is executive authority or power given by God. And here in this particular clinical case study, we see that she did not have the ability or power to be released from this condition. Now, she did not have the will to power. She did not have the inherent strength. So there was something going on in her heart, though, and she wanted to be healed. She wanted a different life. I love this narrative because of what is going on here, the dynamic between the woman and Jesus. You read in verse 12, and when he saw her, he called her to him and said to her, and this reminds me of Genesis chapter 1, God in God's creative act. God said, light be, light was. So thought and action are what? That is Hebrew theology. Thought and action are what? So we read in the beginning. God created. Elohim created. Ara. Ara Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we have the verb bara that's used in the Hebrew Old Testament. It is only used in reference to God and his creative activity. It is only used with reference to God's saving action and his creative activity. Here we see God's saving action. Here we see God's creative activity in the life of this individual. Notice the inherent authority, the inherent power of the words of Jesus. Woman, he identifies her as an individual. There is nothing impersonal about this address. He identifies her. She knows that he is speaking directly into her condition. She knows that he is speaking directly into her situation. He identifies her. He touches her heart. He says woman in order to draw her attention to the new reality that is now being manifested in her life. At this point, she is at the beginning. She is at the door of the new reality, of the new power that will be in her life. She is identified, and she responds to the identification. Woman, thou, that is you, speaking to this particular woman at this particular time, woman, you are loosed. So we have the verb loosed in the perfect indicative, passive. It is in the passive voice because she was acted upon by an outside power. Therefore, she received the action of the verb. The action of the verb was done to her or acted upon her in a way that would be profitable in her condition or state. Woman, thou art loosed out from thine infirmity. Now notice the spirit of infirmity. This is very interesting in verse 11 because it tells us that the source of her condition was a supernatural being. That cannot be deduced or seen from a CAT scan, or any other instrument that is available to medicine. The spirit of infirmity. This person is weak, this person is sick, and we don't know why. This person has this condition going on, and so we have a name for people who say, well, I am this in this particular condition, but we can't find through our test a reason for what this individual is experiencing. Because the instruments and tools of our medicine are not designed for this level. But then Jesus could see, and Jesus knew. He knew the spirit of infirmity. And so he spoke to the woman, and he didn't even address the spirit being that had bound her through his own prerogative, through the divine prerogative and the divine authority. He says, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And then in verse 13 we read, and he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So we see two movements here. He spoke to her condition, and then he showed his compassion toward her in that he laid his hands on her. And here the word lay his hands means to impose in a friendly sense, to impose in a friendly sense. And immediately she was made straight. And so we see something else at work in her heart. This is made straight is given in what we call the effective aorist, the effective passive indicative. She was made straight. She was given a new life through the power of God. Now, you may feel, or you may know someone who feels that he or she has messed up so bad that there is no way God can forgive. This individual may say to you, there's no way God's going to forgive me of this. And if I were God, I would not expect him to forgive me. You hear such language. I've heard such language. But the wonderful thing about our God is and that many do not understand is his grace. His grace accompanied by his mercy. We have a merciful God. And those who are cognizant, who are intimately aware of their own shortcomings and sin, God loves you. In verse 12, we read, when Jesus saw her, God sees you. As Jesus saw this person. And you may be in a spiritual condition that has you bowed together in shame. You may be or have a spirit of infirmity that has bowed you together in grief, anxiety, and depression, and bitterness, and unthankfulness, and self-hate. These spirits that can bind individuals, as this woman was bound for 18 years, can keep you away or can keep you out of life, make you bitter and resentful. The word resent means to rehearse over and over and over again. And so one may rehearse a wrong that was done in the long past. See, when we live in the past, we have a rear view mirror mentality. Now, if you have an automobile, you know what I mean. When you look in the to a rear view mirror, you see what is behind you. There are persons who live in the present tense, their bodies, but their minds live in the past, in the rear view mirror. And they rehearse over and over and over again what happened, what was done. They are imprisoned. They can't see the present or experience the present. They can be happy. They can be satisfied. They can be at peace because the past is still at work in the present. And so these individuals are bowed together. They are bowed over. And they cannot lift themselves up. And so they need help. Jesus sees this chronic condition. Jesus sees that these persons are in need of his help. And he spoke in verse 12 into this woman's condition, as today he will speak into your chronic condition. That spirit of defeat, that has provided you, although you may be counterintuitive, an excuse for not doing anything with your life, but that you are dissatisfied because you want a life, but you have such great fear because of the spirit of infirmity that makes you weak. You're bound. You're afraid to step out. You know you are afraid to fail. God will give you the courage. God will speak truth to power through your life. You have to receive him by faith. You have to come to him by faith and allow God to give you the power to make a new beginning in your life. You can do that today. You can talk to God about where you are. without shame. You can talk to God with frankness, remembering that He is holy. And so you approach the throne of grace with what is on your heart and allow God to unburden you. You say, well, I stand up straight enough, yes, but in your heart and your spirit, you may be bowed together, unable to lift yourself up, unable to lift your eye, unable to be to take yourself seriously as an adult. You know you're no longer a child, but you feel that you're not an adult. God can take that away from you. And God can give you a new self-image, a new way of seeing yourself. God can set you free as He set this individual free. Now notice, verse 16, after Jesus was reproached by the ruler of the synagogue, Jesus says, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years. In the Greek, the word bound means to fasten or tie with a chain or cord. The term be loosed from this bond. Bond here means impediment on the Sabbath day. So Jesus lays it out. Ought not. He uses the word day. DEI, it is necessary in the nature of the case that this woman be set free. Your freedom, freedom that you really want but you're afraid to ask for, is there for you right now. God has, through Christ Jesus, provided a way for you to be set free from your past so that you no longer look in the rearview mirror of your life. Of course, when you're driving, you must of necessity do so, but to have that rear view mirror mentality, which governs your life, which keeps you in the past, live here now. Be present now. Learn to live in the present tense. Learn to enjoy the fullness of life in the present. Learn to be fully present with others. You have compartmentalized yourself. You have fragmented yourself. And that fragmentation means that you're not, self-fragmentation means that you're not happy. You're not satisfied. Let Jesus bring wholeness back to you. Let Him gather up all the fragments of you. He loves each fragment of you. Let Him put you back together and make you whole. Stop being that 1,000 or 10,000 piece puzzle set. You're just fragmented. And you feel so lost and alone. You feel so scattered. And you may be saying to yourself, what does all this mean? What have I really done with my life? The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You may go before God, tell Him where you are, that you feel bowed together, and that you can't lift yourself up, and that you need His power. Change you to give you a new life. Tell God this morning that you desire, your earnest desire is to be set free. That you want to be loose and no longer bound by any infirmity. You want to live a rich and full life. Go before Him and tell Him what is on your heart today. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.